This morning, I want to think about, as we kind of draw our discussion of hope to a conclusion, I want to think about a hope that we have that is it's just a hope that, well, the King James uses the word, it's a hope that abides. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. And beginning there at about verse 9, you have this concluding statement to everything that the apostle says about love in the first part of 1 Corinthians 13. I realize how frequently we quote the first part of 1 Corinthians 13 and how infrequently we kind of think about the end of this chapter, but that's what I want to think about for a minute this morning. The apostle said, beginning in verse 9, he said, we know in part, we prophesy in part. The things that we know are not final, and the things that we say to you in terms of speaking for God, and that's really what prophecy is. Speaking for God, it's only part of what God wants to say. He says, we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done with. I think that idea of something perfect coming can have two references. The first reference that it probably has is to the completion of the Bible. It wasn't completed when Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. They only had parts of it, but eventually everything that God wanted to say, he was able to say. And there's also a sense in which there are some things that we just can't understand at this point. And that which is perfect knowledge, is not going to come until after we're dead and after this old world is burned up and all of the limitations that we feel because we live here are done away with, and we're with God in heaven, and we expand our ability to understand. I'm not sure what he's talking about. I think the Corinthians probably focused on the first idea. I wish that I had the whole Bible so that wherever I went, I had all of the things that God wanted me to know. They didn't have that. Think about having a Bible that just didn't have the ending written. That'd be like reading a book and you don't have the ending. Well, that's in part. He says, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, some things are kind of cute when a child does them. But we really expect the child to grow beyond the point of thinking that there are fairies in the woods. And we really expect a child to grow beyond the point of thinking that there are really unicorns. They're somewhere on the earth. It's kind of cute when a child does it, but we want to put that away. We want to become a man. We want to become more mature in our thought process. He says, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. I think there he's beginning to talk about that second idea of the perfect coming. He says, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth these things, faith, hope, charity. Or if some other translations put it, faith, hope, and love. But he says the greatest of these is charity, or the greatest of these is love. So what does that tell me about hope? The first thing it says, at least to me, is that hope that we have is inseparable from faith and love. There is no sense in which we can talk about having hope that doesn't at the same time suggest that we have faith, and doesn't require at the same time that we have love. Look at Colossians 1. Another place where he talks about this, it's one that is just as important as 1 Corinthians 13, but when we think about love and we think about faith, a lot of times we think about 1 Corinthians 13. This is the way he says it in Colossians 1. He said, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of God's people." The faith and love that spring from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven, about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. See, hope and faith and love are all built in together. Can't have one without having the other. Now, I said some things are cute when children do them, but we expect people to grow beyond that, and that's true. But, you know, some people think about faith, hope, and love as things that are cute in a child, but you really ought to grow beyond that. A lot of people in the world who think that you really ought to grow beyond the idea of having hope, that you really ought to get beyond the idea of having faith. And I don't think that's true. He said, "When I was a child, I did speak as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things." But then he says, "Some things abide forever." Faith, hope, and love are not the exclusive purview of children. They abide. That's an interesting word, abide. They stay. They have some value. But you know, sometimes people think about the value of hope and the way that it abides as being something like the way ruins abide. Now, I've never been to Europe. I would one day love to go to Europe, and my wife keeps telling me that we need to save our pennies so we can go to Europe and we can see all of the great ruins. You go to Rome, you see all kinds of statues. They're broken down. They're not what they once were. You go to Jerusalem, you can see the remnants of the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall of the Temple Mount. And those things are still here. I've even read about old roads that are still around from the time when they were built by the Romans. Sometimes I wish we could learn to build roads as well as the Romans did, our roads fall apart because of potholes. But those old Roman roads, they're yes, they're still here, but they're ruined. It's just a shell of what once was. That's not what faith that abides is like. It's not the old house that's falling down. And yes, I at one time went to the house where my mother was born, and it was just a shell. There wasn't much left. We went in, and in fact, it was a little scary to go inside because part of it had already started to collapse. And I thought I would be I thought it would be very honoring to my parents if I could take a part of that house and I could put it into my house and make it a part of my house. So I thought I would take the cornerstone, not the cornerstone, the capstone out of the fireplace that my grandfather had built so that they could live in that house. And I pulled out the capstone, not realizing that it held up really the whole fireplace. And when I pulled it out, the whole thing started to collapse, and I hastened the collapse of the fireplace, never did get the capstone because things were falling all around me. But abiding faith is not like that. This is 1 Corinthians 3. He says, no man can lay any other foundation than one that's already been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Person may build on it using gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But each person's work will be shown for what it is. On judgment day, it will be brought to light. It will be put through the fire. The fire will test how good everyone's work is. But then look at the way he says it at the end. If the building doesn't burn up, God will give the builder a reward for his work. And the King James translation uses the word abide in that context. If the building doesn't burn up, if it continues, if faith and hope are just as strong when you're 90 as they are when you're 16, then you have a reward. Abiding is more than a remnant of something that just persists but isn't useful for anything. Look at Romans the 8th chapter, verse 23, beginning. We have the Holy Spirit as a promise of future blessing. We also groan inside ourselves as we look forward to the time when God will adopt us as full members of his family. Then he'll give us everything he has for us. He'll raise our bodies and give glory to them. That's the hope that we had when we were saved. Looking forward, hope that can be seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what it already has? We hope for what we don't have yet. So we are patient as we wait for it. It's very real. And it causes us to have great patience. Hope will be fully realized. There will come a day when will be what we have hoped for our entire life. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. He says, we're talking about things that go along with being saved. Living in this world right now entails a lot of things. And Paul has been talking about that. He says, God is fair. He will not forget what you have done. I'm reading from the New International Reader's Version, by the way. He says, God is fair. He will not forget what you've done. He will remember the love that you have shown him. You showed it when you helped his people. You show it when you keep on helping them. We want each of you to be faithful to the very end. This is how we show love. We want you to be sure of what you hope for. We don't want you to slow down. Instead, be like those who have faith and are patient. He says, they will receive what God promised. Yes, I look forward to something that I can't see now. But that thing that I look forward to is going to happen. You know, there are some things that we think might not happen. And we kind of hope that they don't. James was talking in class about, you know, of course, James is still in school. And, you know, there is a time when you're going to have to take a test at the end of the course. And maybe we hope that that day is not going to come, that we're not going to have to take the test. I used to tell my school psych students, the day will come when you have to sit down, just you, no notes, no books, no colleagues to be around you, and you're going to have to take a test. And if you pass, then you can hang up a shingle that says you're a school psychologist. And if you can't pass that test, you can't hang up that shingle. And you know, they some of them didn't want that day to come. I will say that everybody that I taught passed that test. The end is going to come. Be assured, the hope that we have is not because of what we have done. What sustains hope is not my strength. What sustains hope is God's love. Romans 5th chapter, verse 4. The strength to go on produces character. Character produces hope. And at this point, we start thinking, yes, I have a strong character. I have the strength to go on. That is my hope. No. Hope will never let us down. Here's the reason hope won't let you down. God poured out his love into our hearts. He did it through the Holy Spirit and was given to us. Hope rests on God. That's why it never fails. My hope is a part of the armor that God gives me, because he knows that I'm going to have to leave this place, and I'm going to go out into the world, and I'm going to encounter people who express great animosity towards me just because I don't do what they do. This is the way Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 5 when he talked about the armor of God. We belong to the day. Let us control ourselves. Let us put on the armor of faith and love on our chest. Let us put on the hope of salvation like a helmet. God didn't choose us to receive his anger. He chose us to receive salvation because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Jesus died for us. I can't be dissuaded. I have to rely on God. And you know, it's hope that causes us to keep ourselves pure. It's not fear. I don't have any fear of God. I don't stay away from something because I'm afraid of an angry God. I stay away from those things because of hope. Dear friends, he said in 1 John 3, beginning of verse 2, now we're the children of God. He still hasn't let us know what we will be. We don't know what we will be like until after death. But we know that when Christ appears, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he really is. Remember what Paul was saying about now we see through a glass darkly? One day, Jesus is coming back. And we will get to see him as he really is. We won't see him as the lamb who opened not his mouth and was led out to the cross. We will see him as he really is, as God. He's pure. We stress that all the time. He's pure. And all who hope to be like him make themselves pure. Jesus died for us. He did everything he could to help us survive a world that is arrayed against us, and we can be successful. We are assaulted on every hand with temptations that Satan puts in our way to drag us away from God, and we don't have to give in. You won't give in if you still think that heaven is real. Peter wouldn't have sunk if he kept his eyes on Jesus. But Peter got out of the boat. He was willing to start to walk to Jesus, even though the sea was boisterous. It's when he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Consider the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus. And he says, lift up the feeble knees in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. We're starting a new year. It's a year in which we will follow Jesus wherever he goes, whatever he does, we will follow him. And that means a lot. And we'll talk about what that means in this next year. But understand, this is our hope. This is what sustains us. You want to put on Jesus and be one of his. Understand what you're signing up for. You want this hope. Then put him on in baptism. We'll help you do that. And if you've taken your eyes off of Jesus, you lost hold on your hope, return. Put your eyes back on Jesus. Turn back to him and pray and ask him to forgive you. He will.